Al Jondor is with me for the day, and joining us now, fan favorite and regular guest on the show, but we also brought him in because the last time John was here, the three of us just had such a great conversation together. We said, John's going to be here. Yeah. Let's get this guy back. He is writer and communication expert, Evan Thompson. Evan.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back. Time does fly.
It does.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like just yesterday we had a beautiful chin wag with one another, but it's been quite a while. It's been a couple of years. Year?
Yeah, I'd say a year.
I'd say a year.
Absolutely.
How are you doing? Are you okay? What's happening? Talk to me. Let's do emotional inventory with you to start.
I get to talk about myself. How long have I got?
As long as you like,
running
as long as you
over.
Need.
Looking forward to the holidays.
You are? Okay.
Yes.
What does that mean?
For the first time in some years, because I've got a strategy that will get me through, happy and sane.
So are you? But are you implying that the holidays, I guess people, it does bring some stress to people's lives, but... I know some people that look forward to the holidays. They're just like, they love the idea of shopping and getting everyone together and, you know, but are you saying there's always an underlying anxiety regardless?
In my experience, yes. And I am not a Grinch. I've loved the holidays since I was a child, but I've found as I advance into adulthood, I'm well there in case you hadn't noticed.
No.
I found strategies that make it even sweeter. And one strategy is not to holiday cram. And cramming for the holidays, to me, is stopping bad habits, losing weight, getting everything perfect, maybe 3 or 4 days before the holiday actually kicks in. Thus the term cramming, as in for exams, trying to ingest a year's worth of knowledge in one night.
But how do you apply that to the holiday? And when you say holidays, let's be honest, we're talking about Christmas.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you mean by cramp? Like, you're saying Christmas Day itself, or the whole, like, preparing for the whole? When does Christmas begin for you?
Christmas begins about
January 26th, the year before.
As much as I love it, maybe 2 weeks out.
Okay. 2 weeks out. Okay.
But what I mean by cramming is, people often feel Christmas is a time where they have to put their best foot forward. Everything has to be perfect. They have to get the right presents. They have to look great. Their clothes have to fit. Everything has to be all lined up. So they are the perfect host or the perfect parent or the perfect guest. Not possible if you leave it until 3 days or a week before Christmas to get your act together.
That was great.
Yeah,
that really well.
It was
that
a recovery.
Was tight.
It was a recovery. It was good. I don't. You know what the thing with me is? I don't care but the problem is I don't host or entertain. Like, mom, I'm so privileged and I accept it. Like, our mother cooks amazing meals. Like, it's everything's taken care of.
We are spoiled. We don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
and but also you don't even come home anymore.
Now I don't go home anyway.
He
so I don't even do the holidays. I just stay in California and. Watch television. So for me, it's not a thing, but I understand it's a thing for other people. Like, it's like I'll go out for dinner, but like I'll wear a baseball cap. Like, it doesn't matter, and I'll eat as much as I want. But yeah.
But here's the difference too. I think most people, it's not only their families. They have office parties. They have other people having like it's a month. It's a crammed month where not only do you have a million events to go to, but also then you want to eat all the treats, but you also don't want to gain the holiday weight. And then you've got to go, and what do you do at your office party? And who do you buy presents for? And what is the, you know what I mean? Like, most people, I mean, John, you opt out of most stuff. And you also don't work in an office and have all that kind of stuff.
I'm a total exception to all these rules because even if I did, I would opt out of all of them anyway. I'd say, I'm not going to the party. I'm not buying presents. And I wouldn't go. Yeah, I would also just eat everything and get fat. Like, I wouldn't, and then whatever. So I'm an anomaly here, but I understand most people do have these events to go to. So the idea is to alleviate the anxiety, but you're saying, so prepare for it long in advance.
Yes. Yeah. Get into training
right.
long before the big day or series of days.
So how does one train their brain to, like, do you have to tell yourself weeks out? Let's say you have an office party on the 12th of December. You haven't done your shopping, whatever, but you got an office party on the 12th. What are office party tips?
I think one of the perennial, one of my favorites, a no fail, is make sure you eat something before you arrive. So if you head to the bar, it's not an early evening, and you don't end up humiliating yourself by being intoxicated.
This is a great point, yeah.
And it's so easy to forget.
If you are a boozer, and let's be honest, some people are boozers.
In this room.
So, but if you are a boozer, that's a great idea. Like, if you know you drink a lot, absolutely, you should have something to eat before you go to the party. I completely agree.
One thing, actually, Evan, that you said a couple of years ago that I thought was so great was don't think of the office party as a party, even though it might have open bar and stuff like that. Think about it as sort of like an outside work meeting. Or a where, because you wouldn't get super drunk at a work meeting, and so you want to think of it as like the office, but in just in another location.
I agree.
And I thought that was really great advice, because most people do think of it as like, this is the place where I can go crazy and cut loose, even though it's work people.
I know.
It's the opposite.
I'm so embarrassed. I have a personal story, but after you comment, Evan, sorry.
Well, one's manager or CEO may say, no business done during our Christmas party. This is all about you, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. License to just lay waste, you know, to the bar and whatever. That will be remembered.
Yeah. Yes,
if
it will.
If you're the one who has to be helped to the Uber or the taxi,
yeah,
that will be remembered. And mm-hmm. But you won't remember it.
No, I know.
Because you're so pie-eyed, you don't know where you are. You've been following orders. You've been told to cut loose.
No, so this was not a Christmas party, but it was a rap party for a television show that I did. And I got really drunk, and I had to give a speech. And it was terrible. And this was, and I remember for the next season, I stayed completely sober until after the speech. I had a couple of drinks. Yeah. But so great point, because it's similar to a holiday party. It's like an important event. And like you say, it is work related.
Yeah.
It's work related. And especially these days, God, with HR going crazy, right?
Well, you got to be careful. You don't want to get too drunk and then, you know.
Yeah. I'm a stand-up.
Words.
I'm a stand-up comedian, so I drink on stage. I drink at work, which is weird.
Isn't that interesting?
But I've carved out a nice little job.
Listen, if you are still funny, you can be as drunk on stage as you want. The club's not going to fire you for that. It's not even frowned upon as long as you can still do your job. The only time it causes a problem for comedians is when they've been so drunk they're not funny anymore. They're unintelligible, or they're arguing with the audience, or they drop the ball.
I won't be going back to Denver, is what she's saying. Yeah, that's true. But anyway.
I was actually thinking of a different comedian, but...
I'm not going to Denver. But anyway, we should be talking about the holidays, really, and prepping
for
them.
Well, I know you're really making it about you a lot, but I sort of like it.
I'm just saying I'm not going back to Denver.
Yeah.
Because of drinking too much.
I like the concept of being called upon to give a speech or say a few words to maybe the in-laws or the extended family as they're gathered at the table.
Yeah.
That's another way of maybe giving yourself a heads up. You may be asked, if you're hosting, to say a few words and have that nailed a couple of weeks in advance.
Let's run a scenario, because you're prepped. So you're the host. It's now Christmas dinner, and I now alert everyone. There's about 20 of us here, and I say, hey, guys, Evan would like to say something. Evan, go ahead.
It's wonderful to have you all here. You are our guest.
How drunk are you right now?
Oh, you want me to pretend I'm drunk?
No, I'm totally drunk.
Oh, okay.
No, he's being...
It's never happened, but...
You don't drink?
Not no more, no.
Not no more. Did you ever drink?
No, I wanted to improve my vocabulary. Yes, I did.
Oh,
but not with a capital D, as in look in the dictionary under drinking and there's my photograph. No.
No, okay.
No, I just got tired of having to be mindful of driving.
And you didn't like having fun anymore?
It's not fun for everybody.
I'm joking.
Well, are you?
Well, if you're...
Yes, I know it can ruin lives. I'm just saying, super fun.
And if one has a little bit of vanity in their DNA, as do I.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I like to look...
Give us an example.
Presentable.
Tell us what happened.
I don't like to look. I saw myself on camera and I thought.
Oh, you did? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Who had the camera out? And was it a party?
It wasn't at a Christmas party. It was at a professional gathering.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, enough of that.
Right.
Because we judge people, sadly but truly, on their appearance.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that registers.
Yeah, well, you should hear what's going on in England with the jackets. Anyway.
Listen, I had the same thought after Just for Laughs 1 year. And I remember saying to Cassandra, like, and I had this conversation with John before we went, but I was like, yeah, I can't drink at this festival anymore. Because I, even though it was like during the parties and everybody else was drunk and, you know, it's the embarrassing stuff I did was happening at 2 a.m, which is appropriate embarrassing stuff time. I still went, this is not, I have vanity too. I go, no, that's not who I am. I'm very rarely that person. And I don't like who I become. And it is in a somewhat professional setting, right? I'm there to do my radio show live. And I feel like a loser the next day. I don't want to wake up and feel like a loser.
Yeah.
And it's very... very important, I think, for any professional to maintain control, not just decorum, but control, so that they're a person who can be trusted to always exercise good judgment.
Yep.
Can you call the president? Because I don't think he knows that.
Well, he doesn't know anything, but he knows very little, though, let's be honest. But but we're gonna get good climate. Climate's gonna be good.
Yeah, no, we're gonna start sweeping the forest.
Yeah, was it sweeping the forest? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I have to stop drinking because let's be honest. You're totally right. Being in control is important. No, because there are instances where you don't want to be out of control. And I'd say, you know, it's almost, I mean, why not bring back prohibition? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're suggesting?
No.
Oh,
no.
I thought you were a pro-prohibitionist.
No, many enjoy drinking responsibly.
Yeah, I think what he's saying is people need to take personal responsibility and maybe put on their big boy pants sometimes.
Now, what about mixing pills and alcohol? Where are we there? That's not a good idea, right? Still? No. Or has that changed?
And then cannabis, you know, you can throw that in the hopper too. And you can have a real Christmas party.
So bring that with you. Throw it in the hopper.
And see what happens.
And what is a hopper? That's the bag you bring with you to the party?
The hopper is the virtual bag of tricks.
Right. So.
That gets you through a lot of embarrassing situations.
Right.
You think.
But in fact, it actually creates the embarrassing situation.
It's a kangaroo. Precisely. It's a kangaroo. You put your weed in the kangaroo pocket.
Yeah.
And you bring your kangaroo. So bring a kangaroo with you to the holiday party with some weed in it, and you're going to have yourself a good Christmas party. Evan, you're a genius. You should write a book called that. Bring weed in your kangaroo pouch and have a great party.
Deep pockets.
Yeah.
That's always helpful. Never go to a party without cash.
Oh, yeah?
Because you never know what's waiting when you flag your ride.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is...
enter the vehicle and the thing's down.
Oh, right.
Oh, the machine could be down?
The thing, yeah. The thing.
The thing. Well, let's be honest. I feel like...
The credit card machine.
If you still take taxi cabs in Toronto, I feel like there's a conspiracy where they're like, we're all going to unplug our machines and so that you're going to wish you had cash and it's going to take 8 minutes for us to boot this thing up at the end of the ride.
Interesting. I took two taxis today. Should I take Uber instead?
Are you
is
just
it cheaper?
Bragging about how much money you have?
No, I'm not. It's just
Uber
it was right out
cheaper.
Front. It is way cheaper in Toronto. Okay.
It's not way cheaper, but it is a little bit cheaper.
But Evan brings up another good point. Cash at a party, tips, things like that too.
Yes.
Honestly, because sometimes it's a cash bar and I feel terrible that I don't have money and there's no ATM, but that's happened to me before too, where I want to be able to tip. I always tip. I've been a server before in the past. I don't know if you can tell, but I once had to serve humans in order to earn money to live. So I appreciate them.
So true. the cash thing, when it comes time to leave, mm-hmm. remember, eyes are on you at a company event all the time, and when you arrive and when you leave. And if you can make a positive impression by leaving something for, say, the bartender who's been yeah. looking after you all night at an open bar,
yeah.
or the coat check person,
mm-hmm. yeah.
sounds a little antiquated, but these are behaviors that never go out of style.
Totally.
Civility and recognizing other people's efforts.
You might need to roll up
and
a bill.
Stop it.
You never
it.
Know. Well, you might.
So I will say this, yeah. and yes, I often, especially at like the company party, it won't occur to me till I get there, like, I'm going to need tip money. And one thing I actually did learn from John is that, I know, because most of the time he's a waste, but one thing I did learn from John is he is very generous and literally tips everybody. Like some things where I'm like, that guy, we're tipping that guy. And he's like, yeah, he helped. And so that's something that I have taken on is yes. And that idea of, and especially even if in those situations, like let's say nobody's tipping the coat check girl all night because it is included with the company. You give them an extra couple bucks when you leave. It honestly, they appreciate it so much. And it does, you know, foster goodwill, and you feel good, they feel good, great.
Yeah. And it's holiday time, and holiday time yeah. is that time. So again, getting ready, being prepared,
yeah,
do your checklist well in advance. And I'm speaking of what you're going to wear,
mm-hmm.
so it's not at the cleaners.
Yeah.
The
so you don't have
you're
to
looking forward
think
to
about it.
It
the day of, it's mm-hmm. so stressful.
And de-stress by planning in advance. If there was one thing I could emphasize, that would be it.
So essentially, it's do your shopping now. Like if you need a sweater, a nice sweater that you're going to, if you know you're going to have three events, get it done now, this weekend, then you're set. Then you have nothing to worry about. It's hanging in the closet. It's clean. It's ready to go. Or you wear the same sweater three times. So just make sure you've got time in between to wash the darn thing.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah, sometimes, yeah. You can have remnants of other evenings that are nice for you, but not so nice for other people.
Yeah, and if you are bringing a kangaroo, let's be honest, bring something to scoop the poop.
Is a kangaroo a metaphor for something?
No. You said a hopper. So
oh,
I thought you meant a kangaroo. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about rabbits.
No,
you said throw your weed in the hopper.
Ignore him.
I might be taking things too literally.
No,
I thought you were actually
agrarian
saying
agrarian stuff. The hopper, husks of corn, throw them in the hopper, grind them up.
Yes, grind up
Fargo.
Your weed before you bring it to the... Oh,
did
Fargo.
Did you see Fargo?
Yeah.
That was a hopper. Actually, that was a wood chipper in action.
It was a wood chipper, but a hopper, is that's the idea. Like, do not bring them. I thought you were saying put them in a hopper, bring them with you to the party. You're saying don't bring weed and alcohol
don't
to the party.
Don't bring the weed and don't
My
bring
apologies.
A Mickey. And
I made a mistake there. Now, not a Mickey, but what about a water bottle full of rum?
We're going to take a break. And in the break, we're going to talk to John about appropriate questions for Evan.
Like a hot water bottle full of rum and a straw that runs up from, like you tape it to your back. You tape a hot water bottle, a beach ball.
Why wouldn't you tape it to your stomach?
No, because they'll see it.
They're just
going to
notice a growth coming out of your back.
No.
It would be more normal coming out of your stomach.
No, I'd be wearing a jacket, though, so it would cover it. But you tape it to your back with a straw running up.
It's probably happened.
You know what? The best thing is the kangaroo with weed in it.
We're going to take a break.
It's the best suggestion Evan has had so far since I've known him.
While we are in the break.
Put your cannabis in a marsupial of some kind, anything with a pouch.
I'm going to brainstorm some grown-up questions.
Try and get a therapy kangaroo. If you can get a therapy kangaroo, a note from a medical professional, maybe you don't even have to pay for the thing.
If you have a question
Free
for
kangaroo
Evan,
with weed in it.
Why
nice.
Don't you tweet us at TheBreakdown167, and we will be right back with more holiday tips. Also, don't forget to go to EvanThompsonAndAssociates.com to find out more about Evan and how he could help you. We'll be right back on The Breakdown, Channel 167,
Love
Canada
song.
Talks.
Love the song.
We are joined by writer and communication expert Evan Thompson, and we've been talking about managing the holidays, because really, I know some people who have their holiday party next week.
Yeah.
And so the season is upon us. Today, or not today. When was Thanksgiving in America? Thursday? Is it it happened yet? Is it this week?
It's this week. It's the Thursday, yeah.
It's this Thursday.
This Thursday, yeah. This
so,
is Thanksgiving?
We've already started kind of gearing up for the holidays in this country, and then Christmas will come full force once this Thursday is over in the United States.
Well, yeah. I mean, then there's Friday shopping. Like, this is the
whole
week.
No, this weekend is crazy.
It's in the whole then, week is nuts. Yeah, yeah. It bleeds right into Christmas. Can I tell you something really weird? When I flew back from, so I was, where was I? I was doing a show. I was in Calgary, mm-hmm. and I flew back. I was there November whatever. No, it was in Seattle. Pardon me. November 1st and 2nd. So when I left, it was October because I arrived in October. I came back to Los Angeles, and it was November 3rd. Christmas music playing in the Starbucks. Yeah. And it's bizarre. But yeah, in the States, I guess it just starts. I don't know if it happens up here too.
Yep,
or
November
what.
1st.
Oh,
Christmas
is that right?
Music. Yep.
Unbelievable. In California, it just seems so weird. But
Tone it down, everybody.
You were saying, sorry.
But
I'll jump in with other great stories like that every now and then. Go ahead.
Even in my neighborhood, there's this, every year this guy puts out an inflatable moose, and then he has built a wooden sign that says countdown to Christmas, and then he changes it every day. So it tells you how many days it is. That moose is already out there.
Right. Oh, it's not out there like January 1st, like counting
no,
down?
No, it's not there year round.
That'd be great.
It's post because Halloween is also big in my neighborhood.
Right.
There are still Halloween decorations up, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. in some houses, but other people have switched over to the inflatables are a big thing in my neighborhood, so yeah. They've switched out their Halloween scary ghosts for their Christmas inflatables.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, so the countdown moose is already out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, it's, so anyway, long story short, and that's impossible at this point, the holiday season is here.
Yeah.
Now, we do have a question that has come in on Twitter. Listener Jay Brody, a.k.a. Traitor This Show, tweets in, I have a question for Evan. Can I store my weed in my therapy kangaroo's natural pouch, or is that a violation of the kangaroo's personal space?
Finally, a great question. Thank you, Jay Brody. Answer, Evan.
I think you really have to consider the kangaroo's feeling. You need to show some empathy. You just
yes.
can't stuff it into its pouch.
This is
should
why,
you know some basic things about a kangaroo?
This is why Evan wrote the book.
Yes.
Bring your kangaroo to the holiday party with weed in its pouch.
You don't want to get on the wrong side of a Joey.
No, you don't.
That is a really high velocity male kangaroo.
You'll be in the hospital.
They'll kick your head off. Yes. So if you go messing in their pouch,
yeah.
Ooh, I don't. That's
and you know what
I wouldn't want to do that. I just stash it somewhere else and let the kangaroo go and hop around in the back garden.
You know what would ruin a holiday party is a head rolling down the aisle.
Yeah. Also, I feel like that pouch probably has some sort of goo in it.
Well, it depends. You can line it.
No, I mean like a natural goo, because that's where they keep their babies.
Yeah, but
right?
You can line it with a plastic bag and then put your weed
in that.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Or you can put a backpack on it.
I just want to point out what a...
Might as well bring a raccoon then, if you're just going to put a backpack on an animal. You don't even need a kangaroo. The whole point of the kangaroo is it has a pouch. Now we're putting backpacks on animals? What is happening to the world? Go on, Allison.
I just want to point out what a consummate professional Evan Thompson is, because normally in his day-to-day job, part of what he does is counsel people on how to be better leaders, how to get into the C-suite, whether it's the CEO, COO, CFO, and yet he is lobbing back your weirdness in the most beautiful professional way.
Yeah,
consummate professional.
I don't know what weirdness you're talking about, number one. I think these are all great ideas. I think putting a backpack on a dog and putting your weed in it at a party is a good idea. Evan, thoughts?
Dogs aren't mules.
True. Yeah. Well, let's say it was a service animal of some kind, like
if
a therapy.
If you can adorn your dog mm-hmm. with a backpack that doesn't make it look stupid.
Yes.
Bring it anywhere.
There you go.
I see dogs with knapsacks all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're miniature teacups in many cases.
Yeah.
And the knapsacks have been made by children.
Yeah.
And they're about 4 inches by 4 inches. Yeah. But they're still knapsacks, but not good for carrying or stashing certain things.
A mule is what we're looking for, really. A mule or a camel, something that's a little more used to transporting humans or...
We do have another question from Twitter.
Yeah.
Canuck Wolf says, is John drinking now or already drunk?
I did have a beer at lunch.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
He has already started drinking today, so you're not wrong.
I'm not drinking. I had a beer at lunch. But let's be honest. There are a lot of good ideas Evan has brought up today. One of them is bring a water bottle, tape it to your back filled with rum with a straw running from it to your mouth, and bring a dog with a backpack full of weed to a party. These are great ideas that Evan has come up with thus far. But the holiday season is very stressful. What are other things outside of, let's say, preparing, like, that you would suggest for the holiday season? Like, what are other anxiety battling tools that you use? Meditation, breathing, cannabis?
One, two, I can speak to as working. The third, I'm not so familiar with.
Yep.
But also, when you listen at a party or a big, big event around the table, you tend to bring more to the gig, more to the event, and you have more fun because you can get people to open up. And the whole thing about relieving stress in a large or small group is to have people interacting. Their stress just melts like snow on a roof on a spring day.
They say that the best interviewers are the best listeners.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. So, is there any other tip that you would suggest when it comes to holiday parties outside of like preparing, like, because we're talking about clothing and things like that? I'm just thinking, like, there are so many people that have so much running around to do. I just feel like it's such an impossible season. It's almost like you have to just accept the fact that you're going to be battling it. Like, if you're prepping food, like, do you know what I mean? Like, how do you really escape it?
But I think a good point that you brought up in the right at the beginning off the top, Evan, that I think is important and you could probably expand on, is this idea of people think, okay, I'm gonna, you know what, I want to feel less stress and be prepared, so I'm gonna get going on an exercise regimen now, and I'm gonna go to the gym 4 times a week, and everyone always says that's good for you, so I'm gonna do that and it will alleviate my stress. But it's really just adding yet another thing. And not that you shouldn't, you know, do your best to go to the gym. But if you're now putting extra pressure on yourself to go, okay, I've got to make it to this party and I've got to make, I've got to get this and I've got to do that. And I have to make sure I also go to the gym 4 times a week. Maybe don't put high pressure goals into the mix right now.
Two things about the gym. The gym can be our friend or it can be a terrible master. Or mistress. It can drive us nuts. If we
start, a terrorist organization, almost.
Yeah, just stalking us, lowering our self-esteem because we're not getting the six-pack that we once had fast enough. And you're not going to build a six-pack 4 days before Christmas.
No.
You've got to start 4 years before the Christmas you want to show yourself at the party.
And
it takes time. And you also have to determine your goals. How much weight do I really wish to lose realistically? Mm-hmm. Because things backfire when you aim too higher.
So what you're suggesting really is, like, just don't eat anything for 3 days. Like, don't worry about the gym. Just don't eat for 3 days.
It's definitely not what he said.
Oh, I thought that's exactly what he said.
It's definitely not.
Oh, my bad.
I want to point out.
I apologize.
One of my alarm clocks, because I do have three, is a clock radio. And whatever station it is tuned to, because I'm not entirely sure which, but when it went off this morning, they were talking about how stressful the holidays can be and that most people tend to gain between 5 and 10 pounds over the holidays. Yes. And they were talking about this very thing of maybe instead of trying to, like, if you are on an eating plan, instead of thinking about losing weight over the holidays and putting that pressure on yourself, just try to maintain. So, because often when we put too much pressure on ourselves, we go the other way. And so that was one thing they were saying is, like, maybe don't, you know, if you have been really focused on losing weight, maybe don't fully take a break over the holidays and eat whatever. Don't do either extreme.
Exactly. How many of you, the listeners, have said no more pizza this month or no more shoe purchases this month? What's the first thing you do? You order a pizza and go out and buy a pair of shoes or order them online.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It creates unreal tension. And that's all you think about. You want to be thinking about other things. Mm-hmm. Get your mind going in a number of different directions.
What are the things?
Don't obsess.
What are the things besides...
Here we go.
I was going to say, what other things besides shoes and pizza should we be thinking about?
In terms of spontaneous purchases, obsessions?
Just generally.
Just be positive. Go, I'm going to have fun this holiday season. I'm going to eat healthy, but I'm also going to indulge now and then.
You know what? How about don't worry about maintain, just gaintain. And then, I mean, there can't be anything wrong with like just, okay, this time of year I am going to put on a bit of weight. What's wrong with that? I mean,
a lot of people, again, you are an exception to most rules.
No, I'm fat, and but I'm also
people,
stupid.
A lot of people are very, very stressed out about how they look, how much they weigh, how they feel in their own body. And so they are under so much more stress this season because they are doing that. I don't want to eat all the food at the holiday party. I don't want to. And I'm not going to. And when you put that pressure on yourself, you end up going. And then you go, I'll just have one cookie. And then the next thing you know, you're shoving all the cookies in your mouth.
Yeah, I know.
And so it's about mitigating that.
Yeah.
And listen, I'll tell you, as someone who has spent half her life unhappy with her weight, there was no going, you know what, guys, it's cool. I'm just going to gain 10 pounds this month. NBD. Because that 10 pounds normally is not going anywhere.
You know what? You're right. And I apologize. Yeah. This is a real issue. And
check your privilege, bro.
No, I was being trivial about it. It's not being privileged. I'm just accepting I'm willing to put on some weight over the holidays. Yeah. But you're right. It's not healthy, and it's not probably what most people want to do.
It stresses people out.
And it will stress out your friends and your loved ones, your family, if they see you twisting and turning, salivating every time they put something in their mouth at the Christmas table.
Yeah,
because you're trying to lose weight. It's all about you. They won't have fun.
Right.
And they'll get in pretty crappy moods because you're watching every mouthful and you're judging them.
But even if that's if you manage to abstain, and then if you don't, you're probably going, I hate myself for eating these cookies. I promised I wouldn't, but I just can't help myself. And because I've said this before, I feel so bad for Cassandra. Like in all of last year, I'd be like, I'm fat. And she's like, oh my God, you're fine. And I'm like, I'm fat. I don't want to be fat. Like she had to listen to me complain for like a year. And so that's really irritating to your friends and family as well. And if you are that focused on it, instead of going, okay, I'm just going to try and balance it. I'm going to balance as much as I can. Then you are annoying no matter what you do.
Or convert to another religion. You don't have to have a Christmas dinner, you know? There's that possibility too. Sure. What about conversions? What are your thoughts?
That's another thought on the cramming for the holidays.
Go atheist, maybe.
That doesn't take long to take effect. But if you're really serious about converting to another religion...
Yeah.
It does.
Every religion has treats.
Order that online.
Yeah, but let's ask Evan, which is the best religion? What's the best one in the entire world?
It has to talk to you and it has to speak to your experience.
You're the best.
No, but honestly, the holidays can make people really crazy. And I'm not saying you have to be crazy to change religion. I'm not suggesting that. But one of the dangers of the holiday time is quite simply, let's say you're introverted.
Right.
Let's say I'm all shy.
Yeah.
And this is a Christmas show and I'm in here with both of you.
Yep.
And I'm trying to crack you up every 30 seconds. It would be a pretty short show, I'm guessing. Lots of news breaks. So be yourself. Don't try and shift it to the point where you're just a complete jerk. And you're not landing with anyone. They're making rude signs behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Does that land with anyone here?
Not me. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
I don't know
who you're talking about.
If you're introverted, you need to be loyal to that, and you need to embrace it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be who you are. Yeah.
Don't all of a sudden try to. I mean, look, I encourage people to kind of step outside your comfort zone, like, but do something like maybe introduce yourself to one person. Don't go in and try and be like, "Hey, everybody, I'm gonna be the life of the party." We're going to take a break.
No need to do that. I mean, no, there's a need to take a break. No need to do what you just said, though.
Yeah. I was going to say, no, we do have to take a break, though.
Yeah.
Just before we do, I want to read a tweet. Guys, you can tweet us at TheBreakdown167. Adam says, I am reading it.
Okay, go ahead.
It's very nice, but it's about me.
Oh, good.
Just want to say hi to John Doerr. We don't hear your voice very much and want you to know how much we love your sister's show.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
I love your show. Yeah. And thank you for having me on and letting me be a bit of a nuisance. And Evan is the sweet.
I know.
The listeners have to know how great Evan is, by the way.
I think they do because Evan does come here once a month.
And he also tolerates my nonsense very well.
No, he's so kind and patient.
And he just fought back in a way that made me laugh very hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we do have to take a break, though. So, Allison, we need you to wrap that up. This is The Breakdown with Allison Doerr, and we'll be right back with more Evan Thompson.
We are joined by Evan Thompson. I tried to say Thompson writer, but I made them one word. Writer and communication expert Evan Thompson. And we were talking before the break, we're talking about, you know, managing the holidays. And we had mentioned don't go too far outside your comfort zone. Over on Twitter, Canuck Wolf says, introversion is the reason I'm such a curmudgeon during the holidays. And yeah, that can be another layer of stress. There's a lot of socializing. And if you're not good at it or it's not comfortable for you or you're better one-on-one, there's a whole other ball of wax. What if... Okay, so we're at a holiday party, and I get stuck with Steve from IT, and it's the worst conversation ever, and he's asking weird questions. How do I get out of it?
Yeah, how do you get out of an awkward conversation generally at a party? Is there a polite way to do that?
There certainly is. Essentially, say you've enjoyed the conversation. You realize there are other people here who, Steve, you'd like to talk to, I'm sure. I don't want to monopolize you. We can pick this up over coffee sometime.
Right.
Or online. But I want to say hello to him, her, over there.
Yeah. Right.
And maybe we'll check back before the end of the evening. But it's been a real pleasure. And keep walking. Do not stop.
That's great.
Right. And don't even pause.
Hesitate.
Yeah.
Keep walking. Because if you pause...
Mm-hmm. He's coming back.
He'll come back.
Or he'll just go... Yeah. Well, you know, just before you go, one more thing.
Yeah, or he might even say, well, great idea, I'll come with you. And then before you know it, so you got to get moving.
Yeah.
That's the party stalking, which is another story.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you sometimes have to leave temporarily.
Yeah, because you got a satellite following you.
Yeah, or find a room in the house built for one, like a bathroom.
Can I tell you something? This is one of the many reasons why I regret quitting smoking.
Oh, I know.
Because that's always the greatest. Like, oh, I'm just going to pop out for a cigarette. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a great excuse, but I don't have it anymore. So what do I do now? What if we're at a family party and I can't stand this guy, even though we're related, and now he's coming over here.
I got one.
What do I do? Well, yeah.
Take a phone call. Pretend you have a phone call.
No, that's rude.
You know
what?
I've got to take
a phone
call.
That's rude, though, right, Evan?
No, you say I have a family member who's ill. This could be important.
But you're at a family party.
Yeah, yeah. And so you say
on the other side.
Yeah.
And then mom goes, Jonathan, who is it?
Just say, look, I'm Batman. All right, I'm Batman, and I got to take this, and you go outside. But that's not, you could use the phone as an excuse, couldn't you? Like, I have to send an email. It's inappropriate, but it has to be sent.
If they know you're in the communications business and there is any chance that you would need to make a call, take a call. Mm-hmm. If you're an investment manager and the markets are crashing, of course, it's fine to go and make a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you cannot. If you work at Dairy Queen, you cannot get out of that party. I'm sorry.
It's sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
there's no blizzard emergencies.
But just really recognize the other person's fun and need to have fun and don't lie. Because if you say, I'm just about ready to leave, I'm going to get my coat now, and then he or she sees you 20 minutes later.
No, that's the worst.
Hitting it off with someone.
Yeah,
no,
who
never
might be their partner.
Never lie. Always truth, by the way. But yes. truth is always better. Like,
yes.
But even though like it's a little bit of a lie, like, no, I guess not, because you do want to say hi to other people. Yeah, you're right. It's like, you know what? It's been great talking to you. I do want to talk to some other people. I'm going to say bye to you before I go. I think that's the greatest tactic. That's great. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, what if we're still at the family party, but now someone's like, Allison, I don't think you've met my daughter, Ashley. And now I'm stuck with an 8-year-old. I don't want to talk to that kid.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure the kid's great, but I don't know.
No,
I don't spend time with kids. I don't know what to say to that kid.
Yeah.
I don't know how to communicate. That kid's probably sticky.
Yeah.
How do I get out of that?
Essentially, put a clock on it.
Okay.
Say, oh, Ashley, it's nice to meet you. There's lots of people here. Have you spoken to lots of people? I certainly have. But just before we go, tell me a little bit about your school, about your friends. Don't bail immediately.
Well, I tell you something. This is where you get away with Batman.
Oh,
this is where you say, like, you know what? I'd love to talk to you, but I'm Batman. I got to go. And then, yeah.
Could you say, Ashley, I would love to hear more about you, but instead I'm going to give you $10.
There you go. Not bad. Ashley, I'm the advanced tooth fairy.
Yeah.
Now, you have not lost a tooth yet, but here's $10 if you stop talking to me and you go stare in the corner for an hour.
And the parent will say, in our household,
yeah,
we teach Ashley to earn her allowance. We just don't hand it out.
Parents
Mr.
wreck everything.
Or Mrs. Moneybags.
Okay, then make Ashley draw a picture. Say, Ashley, I'll give you $10 if you draw a picture of a cat in a forest with 10 different colors. That'll take her forever. That's a good idea. She's earned the money.
I think maybe sit with her briefly or however long you'd like and start the drawing.
I love
but
kids.
I'd keep commerce out of it.
I'd rather hang out with the kids anyway than the adult.
It's a little creepy.
I'd rather hang out
to be handing, you know, like a C note to a 10-year-old.
I'm not giving them a C note. I'm not,
well,
not
it's Christmas.
Mental.
It's supposed to be
what
generous.
What if they won't leave,
by the way, last party I was at Nancy Nixick's, Adam brought his daughter, Ruby, and I paid her money for pictures.
Sure.
I did.
Yeah.
I gave her, she ended up, I think she left with like $8.
Yeah,
pretty good
I would do the same thing.
Yeah,
okay.
It was fun and playful, whatever. The idea was like, yeah, you don't normally do this. So she drew a picture, and I'm like, I'll buy that.
If you don't know the child, it's a little dicey. If it's a, you know, if you're in arm's length, and you know the child and you know the parents well.
I'm going to disagree with Evan on this one, but that's okay. That's okay. We can agree to disagree. I just think you basically don't bring the children. Maybe splurge for the babysitter, and that's probably the best way to handle a party.
I agree.
There we go. Yeah, finally.
What if it's like an afternoon Christmas party, though, and the family's like, everybody wants to bring their kids?
Well then
eventually.
That's when you don't go.
Well, they will arrive and they'll get full of sugar.
Yep.
And then they'll get really excited, potentially.
Yeah.
I know I'm generalizing, but this is just my experience.
All right.
And then they'll just curl up in a
Pass
little
out.
Group.
Yeah.
And fall asleep in each other's laps.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it'll be time to go, and you'll throw them over your shoulder and take them home and put them to bed.
Other people won't. The way
you describe it, they're like a little den of wolves, baby wolves, it sounds like. You know, like an adorable den of baby wolves. They just get so tuckered out, they all just pass out on top of each other. That's a beautiful image.
Kids love to bond, and they do have their packs.
No, I spend all my time, honestly.
They love it.
I hang out with kids at the Christmas parties because I can't stand the adults most of the time. I'd rather just joke around all night. Oh, yeah. Like, I'd rather just, like...
But you also have a thing where if there's a kid in the room, that kid has to like you.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. You have a bit of a thing where you're like, this kid has to think I'm the greatest.
I don't think that's true.
I think sometimes it's true. Sometimes you're like, I think the kid's the most important opinion in the room sometimes for you.
Oh, well, No, I don't. Maybe. No, I don't think as much anymore. Definitely, I used to for sure. It was more. It was more like,
I could. Yeah, you're right. I haven't seen you around a kid in a
because
while.
Because of a kid.
Because of the restraining order. But
shut up.
What
are you doing?
Yes, you did used to.
What are you talking about? I would never say something like that.
Okay, first of all, over on Twitter, listener Ian has a great suggestion. He says, just swear like a sailor.
There you go.
Okay, people won't want you around their kids then. That's good. A great point. And Jay Brody says, just show the kid how to craft a knapsack for your weed-carrying teacup
therapy
dog.
Thank you, Jay Brody. Jay Brody's making tons of sense.
Right?
He's the only one.
We're combining solutions, which I think is probably...
Unbelievable. You are incredible, the things you say. No, that is awful, what you just said.
I love the stream of consciousness and the theme, you know, the marsupial pouch,
yes,
and the backpack, and the teacup dog, and I don't know what this.
This is life.
We
weave a tale. It's like Narnia. The conversation's almost. It's got like characters and fun, but it makes sense. And there's a spine and a narrative, and we learn something. And everyone's happy listening. No one's upset listening in their car. Like we've wasted their time. They enjoy it.
And you know, this is good fodder. Not fodder, excuse me, for a Christmas party. If you really are an introvert and you don't want conversation, just start chatting about this sort of content.
Yeah, just start talking about
then
weed kangaroos.
You'll have your own party.
Yeah, that's true.
That's always my
people
favorite.
People will go, you know, it was nice talking to you, but I see a lot of other people I gotta say hi to. Maybe we'll... I'll say bye before I leave.
Yeah, by the way,
will use it on you.
If something gets used on you that you've heard on today's show,
you take the hint.
Yeah. Oh, no. What about those poor people? What if we've just given a suggestion of how to get out of an awkward conversation and then someone listening finds out that happens to them at a party? They're going to feel terrible. Evan, you've just made someone feel horrible.
Well, this can come into play when you're talking to perhaps someone you really don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
You get into the stream of consciousness, the other world stuff, and the cousin from hell will disappear quickly.
I don't know. Do we have a
and
cousin
that's a,
from hell?
That's another challenge.
Well, we have some that aren't great.
I'm trying to think. We can't talk about personal stuff, can we?
No, we really can't. I mean, we can, but some of our relatives listen.
Yeah, we shouldn't. Yeah.
So
it could be weird. But I'm willing to bring one up. No,
okay.
I'm not. No, we can't. We got to leave it.
I'll be honest with you. We only have like 2 minutes left. And I feel like once we get into our family, even depending on which side you want to aim it at, like there's a long story in both places.
Well, let's, and we're the subject of it probably in there. Anyway, let's summarize though what we've been talking about here. So prepare yourself is the big one.
Prepare yourself.
Clothing.
Get the details down so you can really enjoy the event. And really, first and foremost, think good thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Think, even if it's a family member you can't stand or a cousin you can't stand, go to some old CDs, look at photographs, childhood photographs. Try and remember when things weren't that bad.
Mm. Yeah, the good times.
Good times. And riff off that.
Yeah, unless
go
things
to that
were
party
bad.
Positive.
Yeah, well, yeah.
No, but go in saying today's going to be the best day I've ever had with this person.
I agree 100%. Yay. Yeah.
Can I give a practical tip?
Yes.
One thing that I find is, especially because most invitations these days are emailed, and then often I'll be like searching through my email, like, oh, what was the address? Oh, what was the information? I like to take a screen cap or take a photo.
Yeah.
And I find it easier to find. And then you can also favorite all your holiday invitations so that way when I have my phone out, I'm like, oh, I just look at the picture and I have all the information.
I screen grab everything.
Yeah.
Like everything that I need, like addresses, everything. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll never remember or go because I'll never find the email or the email disappears or whatever it is. Yeah.
Or you accidentally delete it. I've done that a million
times. How do you
feel
about these RSVP email things? I don't like that. I think it should be a phone call or a letter. And do you know what I'm talking about? An emailed RSVP?
Yeah.
Because it drives me nuts.
It's not the most personal thing, but it's expedient, and it makes it easier for the host to get a handle on costs.
It's easier for the host, but it's horrible for, like, I don't like it because if I forget to do it, then my emails pile up, and then all of a sudden, I don't know. That's the one thing I don't think is appropriate.
We are out of time.
I know.
John is 100 years old. Where are you being invited with RSVP cards?
My manager, Joel, invited me to his, Labor Day party. And I didn't RSVP.
No, but no one sends those.
Registered savings plans?
So, listen, EvanThompson and Associates.com to find out more about Evan and what he does. And, of course, he will be back on this show in just a few weeks because we're not giving you up, Evan.
Thank you. I'll never give up. Thank you.
You can follow him at C-Suite Prospects over on Twitter. And we will be right back with the stars of Fugue. You're listening to The Breakdown, Channel 167, Canada Talks.